Our friend Cindy Perlman filling in for Dean in Las Vegas, where she writes for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, also the New York Times. Good morning, Cindy. Let's talk about Bruce at Wrigley Field. How you doing?
Good morning, Bob, and I am jealous, so jealous. Tomorrow night in Chicago, you guys get Bruce Springsteen at Wrigley, played all the hits and the new ones, so you're getting things like No Surrender, Promised Land, Out in the Streets, Backstreets, Rosalita, plus the new Night Shift, Ghosts, and a slew of new things.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show, two shows, and what do you know about the tickets?
I was surprised to see. I checked it out yesterday, and there are tickets available for the resale tickets, going from about $165 in the nosebleeds to $2,100 right in front of the stage. But hey, it's Bruce. If you want to splurge, what's $2,100?
Yeah. I know you've interviewed Stevie Van Zandt quite a few times. What's he like?
Stevie Van Zandt, who was also on The Sopranos, he's Bruce's lead guitarist. He once told me that if he messes up when he was on The Sopranos, he got whacked. If he messed up with a Bruce song, not so much. but funny thing happened a few weeks ago. I was just sitting there on Sunday night, and I got a text, and it said, "Hi, Carl, it's Stevie VZ here. Are you in D.C.? If so, let me know, and I'll get you some tickets for the show." He mistexted me. So I wrote back and said, "It's not Carl. You have the wrong person, but good luck on the tour." And Stevie Van Zandt wrote back, "Haha, how did I do that? Sorry, see you down the road."
I would have said, "Yeah, I'll take some tickets." Did you ever find out who Carl was?
I don't know, but I want to go to the show with Carl. Is he going in Chicago? Let's find this out.
No kidding. Let's talk a little bit more about what's happening on the music beat. And I know you've got some stories about Madonna and Beyonce. What's that all about?
You know, Bob, there's nothing as beautiful than when stars collide. And nothing says Diva Fest like Madonna plus her kids going to a Beyonce concert. So this was exciting because it was, first of all, it was Madonna's first time really out of the house since she had that serious bacterial infection earlier this summer. Sort of scary. But Beyonce, obviously a big Madonna fan, gave Madonna a shout-out during the song Break My Soul. She said to her, "Queen, Mother Madonna, we love you." She even put those words on the screen. Madonna took a picture of the screen, put it on her Instagram, and wrote back, "Thank you, Queen Bee, for your magnificent show. My daughters were enthralled. We love you."
Divas colliding. I love it. Let's talk a little bit about what's on TV. By the way, Marianne wanted me to watch Hijack, because I think that's the name of it, because somebody told her about it. And it's very good, except we're going on a trip next week, and I don't think it's the best show to watch before you're flying. Have you heard about that series?
Hijack is so great. It's with Idris Elba, who's such an amazing star. And it's not exactly good when you're going on a plane to think about those things. But, you know, if you had to be hijacked, it was Idris Elba who's trying to save you. So it sort of all works out in the wash.
Yeah, he is good. He is good. No question about it. Talk about Outlander. Hearing a lot about this as well.
You know, when I went to school at Wheeling High School, the American Revolution was never quite as exciting as Outlander, a show that combines love in a tent with actual history, which is nice. TV's favorite ginger, red-haired Sam Heughan, who plays the hunky Jamie Fraser, he had a funny thing. He told me the love scenes were easy to do. He's good friends with the female lead, but he said the harder thing is to cry. And Jamie will often do the lone tear rolling down his face. But, you know, he said, and it sounds weird, he said, quote, "I can squeeze one out," meaning tear. And he said, "You just have to really get into the moment."
Yeah, I don't know how those actors do that. And so that's on Stars, right?
Yeah, the mid-season finale on Stars. We last saw Jamie face down in the mud. Will he live? He's at the Battle of Saratoga. But, you know, he's going to probably live because they have a season and a half to go. So we can't lose him.
No, that's not going to happen. And let's see, the Only Murders in the Building is back. And also there's another series that I know you really like on HBO, Winning Time. I don't know about this. What's Winning Time about?
Bob, you would love this. And you don't have to be a Lakers fan. It's called Winning Time, The Rise of the Lakers Dynasty. And it's all about basketball back in the day. But you have John C. Reilly, who needs an Emmy for playing Lakers owner Jerry Buss. Newcomer Quincy Isaiah is Irvin Magic Johnson. And the second season, which is streaming on Max, is about the 1984 NBA Finals, where the Lakers played their longtime rivals, the Boston Celtics. And the Boston Celtics, you have Larry Bird involved, and you have Lakers coach Pat Riley, played by Adrian Brody. Just really great acting, but one of those shows with a cool soundtrack, all the 80s songs, plus just really fun.
Now I remember this. I have seen a little bit of it flipping around. This is season two, right?
This is season two. They delve into the relationship between Magic and Cookie. It wasn't always so easy back in the day. Magic liked the ladies. Mm-hmm. So there's all the soap opera parts, too. But really fun basketball parts. Plus, I guess the Celtics fans barely let the Lakers out of their stadium after the Lakers won. I mean, they were pelting the bus, people clinging on to the bus, a crazy season opener.
All right, I'll have to add that to the DVR. Entertainment writer and author Cindy Perlman for Dean Today. Thanks, Cindy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Bob.
As you probably heard, William Friedkin, the Oscar-winning director best known for The Exorcist and The French Connection, died yesterday in Los Angeles. He was 87. Friedkin, a Chicago native, sat down with Dean Richards back in 2013, and Dean asked him about what many believe is the scariest movie of all time and how Bill Friedkin got his start in the entertainment industry.
I came to get a job right after high school, and I didn't want to go to college. Not because we were poor, but we were poor. I just didn't want to spend another day in a classroom.
Yeah.
But so I saw an ad in the paper for young men. Start in the mailroom and work your way up in live television. And I came down to Tribune Tower to the mailroom, met the guy who ran it. He was a guy called Ray Domalski. I applied for a job. He said, sit down, kid, and tell me about yourself. And I did. I didn't have much to say. But he said, well, you seem like a nice kid. All right. You can come in on Monday, $33 a week.
Wow, big money.
Oh, yeah. And you'll be working 6 days. I said, great. That sounds terrific. And he told me what was going on. And then as I was leaving, he said, by the way, are you stupid? I said, what do you mean, sir? He said, take a look at that ad that you brought in or that brought you here.
Yeah.
And I looked at it, and he said, what? Do you know the address of this place that you're in? I said, no, I don't. I just know this is the television station.
Yeah.
He said, you're at 441 North Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is an ad for the station across the street in the Wrigley Building.
How about that?
This is the Tribune Tower.
Wow.
You came to the wrong place.
So you accidentally got a job.
Absolutely.
How about that?
My whole career is an accident.
How about that?
I mean, if I had gone to WBBM, I might not have gotten the job.
Yeah. People know you best, of course, from The Exorcist and French Connection, among others, although your filmography is vast. Did you have any idea the impact The Exorcist was going to have when it came out?
No.
Still today, people still consider it the most disturbing, the scariest film that's ever been made.
Good. That's why they pay to get in. You know, The Exorcist is a great story about the mystery of faith. It's based on an actual case that took place in 1949 in Silver Spring, Maryland. And I saw the diaries of the priests who were involved and the doctors and nurses, and I made the film as a straightforward story of what happened. We changed the gender of the boy to a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
At the request of the Catholic diocese.
But did you have
William Friedkin, and I also heard him talk in an interview about the French Connection and that famous chase scene. He actually filmed that sitting in the back seat of the car. He said he'd never do that again. The full interview is at WGNradio.com. Very, very good piece in the Trib today by Michael Phillips about William Friedkin, who, as we said, passed away at the age of 87 yesterday. at his home in Bel Air, California, where he lived with his wife, Sherry Lansing, the former Paramount Pictures head and fellow Chicago native. Friedkin grew up the son of Ukrainian Jewish immigrants whose family fled in the face of anti-Semitic pogroms in 1903. On Chicago's north side, he graduated Senn High School, where he played some impressive basketball, but wasn't much of a student. And as you heard there, at 17, he got a job in the WGN-TV mailroom. By the late 50s, he joined the production team at WGN and then Channel 11 as a director and writer. He directed Cup Show for a while. At WGN, he also worked on The Bozo Show and form-breaking arrays of nonfiction TV specials and documentaries. He often came back to Chicago for awards in his honor at the Chicago International Film Festival and other events. Another Chicago-born film director, Andrew Davis, who did The Fugitive, recalled one time he was eating at the Berghoff in the Loop, and he saw Friedkin holding a corned beef sandwich a couple of tables over. And Davis said, he told me he had a two-hour layover at O'Hare, so he came downtown for corned beef. He, to the end of his life, always spoke lovingly of Chicago, and he sounded like a Chicagoan, specifically mentioning the intersection of Foster and Sheridan, where he began his childhood in a one-bedroom apartment before life and the movies expanded his horizons. In 1998, in an interview, he put it this way. He said, I started out in the mailroom at WGN-TV in Chicago and let everyone down because they thought that one day I would take over the mailroom. He did all right. A good account of Bill Friedkin's life in the Trib today from Michael Phillips.